Psalm 100. Psalm 100 is only 5 verses long, but they're some of the most familiar and loved verses in all of the Psalms. In fact, it is the official psalm of the season of Thanksgiving. You know it. Verse 1, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Verse 2, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Verse 3, know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Verse 5, why? For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. Sing it. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. What? He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Now, don't do this, but at least in your imagination, look around the room and look at the faces of the people here. Do they look glad? Or do they look sad? The answer is both. We have some gladdies in here. We have some saddies in here. May the gladdie be contagious and may the saddies catch it. Our gatherings on the Lord's Day, and especially in the season of Thanksgiving, should reflect all of the qualities of Psalm 100. Among all the peoples of all the countries on this globe in all of history, we are the most blessed. And we should be leading the processional into the court, giving thanks to God and praise to him with overwhelming joy. I read about a group of Christian housewives who went on a fall retreat. And the leader of the retreat gave each of the ladies a pad and a pencil and asked each of them to write out a Christmas wish list for themselves, and then to share what they had written on their Christmas wish list with each other. That went very well. And then the leader of the retreat said, now I want you to write out a list of New Year's resolutions and then share them. So they wrote and they shared, and that went very well. And then she asked them to do something that they had never done before. She said, I want you to make a Thanksgiving list and share. So they did, and it went very well. But there were a few interesting ones. For instance, one lady wrote, I am thankful for my husband, who attacks small repair jobs around the house because he usually makes them big enough to finally call in the professionals. Guilty! Another one wrote, I am thankful for children who put away their things and clean up after themselves. They are such a joy that I hate to see them go home to their own parents. And there's just one more. This lady wrote, I am so thankful for smoke alarms because they let me know when the turkey is ready. If we were to make a Thanksgiving list for ourselves, some of us might put on that list things just as shallow as the ones I just read to you, but I suspect that most of us would have more depth. I suspect, like you did at the beginning, people would give thanks to God for their health People would give thanks to God for their family. People would thank God for their friends. People would thank God for this nation, even though it has lots of warts. And beyond that, I am sure that many of you would thank God for your salvation. You would thank God for Jesus Christ. You would thank God for this church family, like Lisa did the very first one out of the gate. I thank God for Covenant Fellowship. You would thank God for his patience with us. Let's linger on that one a moment. Thank God for his patience with us, and much more. Thanksgiving. Giving thanks. According to history, the first Thanksgiving meal took place in 1621. It was the Pilgrims and the Native Americans who shared it together. Now, if those early Pilgrims had made a Thanksgiving list, there are a number of things that would not be on it. For instance, houses. They didn't have any. Transportation. That was primarily with their own feet. Grocery stores. Their food was in the forest and in the sea, and they had to catch it and kill it. The list would not have included bank accounts. Not only were there no banks, they had no money. And even if they did have money, they had no place to spend it. They had no entertainment or amusements except for the things that they made for themselves. They had no salary, no Social Security, no Medicare. By today's standards, the Pilgrims were the most underprivileged Americans of all of history, yet they were among the most thankful of all of history, and they started a tradition of thanksgiving and a feasting that has evolved into what we call the Thanksgiving dinner. What about Thanksgiving Day? George Washington made a proclamation in the year 1789, and it's filled with compelling words that I'm sure you've heard read before. Listen, he said, whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and his favor, and whereas both houses of Congress, did you hear that? Whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is our beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be. End quote. You know, maybe we should read that around our tables this week, every year. Now, Americans followed George Washington in that idea on and off for 75 years. And then along came Abraham Lincoln, and he set aside an annual day of giving thanks as a regular event. Interesting, it is not a day that recognizes any historic battle. It is not a day that recognizes any anniversary or any special birthday. It is not a day that does anything other than profoundly and simply call you and me to give thanks to Almighty God. Thanksgiving. But giving thanks to God has a much longer history than the Pilgrims in Washington and Lincoln. It started with God's people. They brought him a thank offering. They sang to him. They played instruments before him. And don't listen if this bothers you. They danced with joy before the Lord. Psalm 100 was their hit song. It was their most popular hit, and they danced and sang Psalm 100 as they processed. Now, Psalm 100 begins with a word that scares the liver out of you Gentiles. Shout! God's chosen people didn't have any problem with that word because shouting in biblical days is all throughout the Bible. We read about it. And as a culture, the Jews just don't have any trouble shouting. They still do it today. They shout in their synagogues. They shout in the marketplace. They shout in your face. That's just who they are. God commanded them to do it. God invited them to do it. He said, shout! There are many stories in the Old Testament where shouting was central to the outcome of the stories. And there's one biggie in the New Testament too. And we visited that when we were going through the book of 1 Thessalonians just a few weeks ago. We talked about the fact that it says there that the shout of the archangel will fill the globe when Jesus Christ comes back. That's going to be one of the biggest joyful days of Thanksgiving you can imagine. Oh, I want to hear that shout, don't you? You're not going to need your hearing aids to hear it. It's going to fill your being. Shouting. Psalm 100, verse 1. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. To whom is all that energy supposed to be directed? It's supposed to be directed to the Lord God Almighty, not to a football team. That's what Thanksgiving has become for many folks. Maybe some of you, I don't know. It's just become a day to enjoy the games. God is to be the center of Thanksgiving. In fact, in all five verses of Psalm 100, God is the center. Listen, verse 1, shout to the Lord. Verse 2, worship the Lord with gladness. Verse 3, know that the Lord is God. Verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Verse 5, the Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness through all generations. God is to be the center of our thanksgiving. God. And who is supposed to bring God all of that energy? The answer is in verse 1. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. That's who. All the earth. And it's also found in verse 5. It says, his faithfulness continues through all generations. That pretty much covers all the geography and all the time that we know about, right? The message of giving thanks is so deep and so wide in the Bible that it covers every person of every generation of all times and every stage of life in every place on this globe. So, brothers and sisters, it definitely includes you. All the earth, through all generations, are commanded by God to shout with joy. That's the first of five commandments from Psalm 100. The second one is to worship the Lord with gladness. Most other translations say, serve the Lord with gladness. I like that word a little bit better. The words are interchangeable often in the Bible. Serving God, worshiping God are interchangeable words. But I like serve the Lord with gladness. It does not say serve the church with gladness, even though I hope you will. It does not say serve the turkey with gladness, even though I suspect most of you will. What does it say? Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Here's command number 3. Come before him with joyful songs. I'll go back to the challenge that I spoke of in the beginning of this sermon. Do the faces of this body of believers look glad or sad? What happens on Thursday when you come to the day of Thanksgiving? Is it going to be a gladdy or a saddy? Shout for joy. Come into his presence with singing. What about the singing here at Covenant Fellowship? Is it joyful or joyless? Is it glad or is it sad? Well, guess what? I think it's really great. I think you sing wonderfully. This little congregation has a song in its heart, and I love to hear you sing. I love it. Keep it up. Keep it up. Here's command number 4 from Psalm 100. Know that the Lord is God. The psalmist clarifies that statement. He says next, it is He who made us. God made you. Lots of people struggle at one time or another in life with body image. They wish it didn't look the way it did or sag the way it does, or they wish they could stand more tall or whatever. And God, in His way, in His word, says, watch out, folks. I made it. It is good. Therefore, be glad and rejoice in it. I am God, not you. Here's something else. God is still making you. God is still making us. He's still working on us. So give Him thanks for that too. So far, we've acknowledged 4 commands. Shout, worship, come, and know. Here is the 5th one in Psalm 100. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Now that did not fall on Jewish ears in a deaf way. They understood that. Because as far as they were concerned, when you went into the courts of the temple, when you went into the Holy of Holies especially, you were entering into the presence of God. In their view, that's where God resided. So when you said enter His presence, you were entering His presence. That's where they thought He could be found. But we know differently. We know that God is everywhere. He's everywhere. And we sometimes go places where we hope He's not. Oops. He's everywhere. We can never assume that God is not watching us with whatever we do. I do hope that every Lord's Day, every Thanksgiving Day, and all the other days in between, that you will come into the presence of God. Come into His presence. Shout, worship, come, know, enter. So let's bring this to a close. And how do we do that? I'm going to do it with a question. Here's the question. Does eating turkey make you sleepy? Many people have concluded that it does. Lots of folks will gorge themselves this Thursday only to end up on the sofa with their mouth hanging open, taking a wonderful nap, and along will come Aunt Gertrude, and she will pronounce that the turkey is what did that. The turkey is what made you sleep. It's got amino acid in it, and the name of that is tryptophan. Well, guess what she's doing? She is perpetuating the great turkey myth, because there is more tryptophan in chicken than there is in turkey. In fact, there is more tryptophan in cheddar cheese than there is in Tom turkey. So what's making you sleepy? It's all that other stuff, especially the carbohydrates that are making the tryptophan go to your brain. So what's my point? It's all the other stuff that causes people to sleep in God's presence rather than shout for joy to Him. All that other stuff. It seems that the more stuff we acquire, the less thankful we become. It seems that the more we have, the less mindful we are of God. It seems that the richer we feel, the less we realize that we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. In our abundance, we want to be the shepherd and not the sheep. All of our stuff could change in an instant. It could dry up. It could burn up. It could drift away. It could be stolen. The only constant in our life is our relationship with God. Brothers and sisters, the only constant in your life is your relationship with God. So worship Him with gladness. Know that He is your Lord, and enter His presence with thanksgiving, for He is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness through all generations. Say amen, somebody. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You are great and You are above all gods. Thank You for reminding us of why we have set aside this day to give thanks to You wholeheartedly. And Lord, I pray that all over Ellicott City and this entire area, people this Thanksgiving are going to hear some crazy Christians shouting. And they're going to wonder, what is that about? And You're going to say, it is I. I am. That's who it is about. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen.